A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down now, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have apostatized. They have been quick to leave the way I marked out for them. They have made themselves a calf of molten metal, and have worshipped it, and offered it sacrifice. 'Here is your God, Israel,' they have cried, 'who brought you up from the land of Egypt.' I can see how headstrong these people are. Leave me now. My wrath shall blaze out against them and devour them. Of you, however, I will make a great nation." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your wrath blaze out against this people of yours, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, with arm outstretched and mighty hand? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your servants, to whom by your own self you swore and made this promise, 'I will make your offering as many as the stars of heaven, and all this land which I promised, I will give to your descendants, and it shall be their heritage forever.' So the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." The word of the Lord.
For our psalm today, we are going to sing one of the Queen's favourite hymns, which is "The Lord's My Shepherd." The psalm itself is also very appropriate, so please do read that in your own time.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength and who judged me faithful enough to call me into his service, and discredit the faith. Mercy, however, was shown me because until I became a believer, I had been acting in ignorance, and the grace of our Lord filled me with faith and with the love that is in Christ Jesus. Here is a saying that you can rely on, and nobody should doubt that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I myself am the greatest of them, and if mercy has been shown to me, it is because Jesus Christ meant to make me the greatest evidence of his inexhaustible patience. For all the other people who would later have to trust in him, to come to eternal life, to the eternal King, the undying, invisible, and only God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The tax collectors and sinners were all seeking the company of Jesus to hear what he had to say, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained. This man, they said, welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. What man among you with 100 sheep, losing one, would not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the missing one till he found it? And when he found it, would he not joyfully take it on his shoulders? And then, when he got home, call together his friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me, he would say. I have found my sheep that was lost. And in the same way, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 virtuous men who have no need of repentance. Or again, what woman with 10 drachmas would not, if she lost one, light a lamp and sweep out the house and search thoroughly until she found it? And then, when she had found it, call together her friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me, she would say. I have found the drachma I lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing among the angels of God over one repentant sinner. The Gospel of the Lord. I gather you all missed me last week. Maybe after this sermon you won't. Whilst the world must go on, the events of the last few days, with the death of Queen Elizabeth at Balmoral and the ascension of a new king, King Charles III, many of us would say it has upturned our lives. It's changed our lives. This is only to be expected. The death of our longest lived monarch, the much loved and respected, has created a hole in the emotional life of the country. Not only just maybe ourselves. The sense of shock and loss. So much so that even those who maybe didn't care for the monarchy would, I'm sure, feel something major has happened. The Queen affected all of us, and her life was one of service to all of us. The rituals of grief that we're now going through is something that has left crucially in our lives something that we are now searching for. In the same way as the shepherd or the lady in our gospel went searching. We can be excused, therefore, for not being totally fixed on the liturgical field this Sunday. The gospel gives us something constructive and positive to hold on to. We use the shorter form of Luke's gospel today. The longer form also includes the prodigal son. The heart of things that we saw in the Queen's commitment to God and her people in the promise that she made over 70 years ago resounds. That my whole life, whether it be short, short or long, be devoted to your service. And in this task, the Queen, with so many others who have promised to serve people above themselves, she asked for her assistance, our assistance, when she said, "But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join with me, as I now invite you to do. And I know that your support will be unfailingly given." So without the support of her people, but more importantly, the faith on which she built her life, she realized she wouldn't be able to cope without those supports. But it's striking in the words of St. Luke's Gospel that Christ is also saying, "I am here to give you support, the support I have in whatever you need." He also says about coming together in these stories, about that which we do, that we need to come together sometimes to rejoice and be thankful. And we do that every Sunday when we come to church. We rejoice in that gift that Jesus left us. It's a parable about mercy, the mercy of God. In my mind's eye, the Queen, year in year, outserving us tirelessly, created an example. Faults she had, like all of us. We are all sinners in our own way. But Jesus, in the tales that he is reflected in the gospel, says, "Christ who wipes away the tears and who forgives sins, who before we have even time to apologize, reaches out in love to those who repent." All of us at some time or other are the younger son in the parable of the prodigal son. But we're also sometimes the elder brother. And as the father in the story of the prodigal son ran out to meet his son, God will run out to meet Elizabeth. She taught us of her deep faith and love of Christ, how in one way she tried to be faithful to her vow to God and her people. In her Christmas Day message in 2000, she said, To many of us, our beliefs are of fundamental importance. For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example. I hope you will take both comfort and encouragement from her, that our faith can be lived out in public, that professing Christ will help others to find him and the gospel that is ever new. In thanking her for all she gave, we also praise the one she now journeys towards, who will be there waiting to greet her, to meet her, and to take her home.